Okay, this is it, the final hour of open line, so let's sprint home. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. To the phones we go. Let's pick it up by going to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Go ahead, sir. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Southern California. My name is Tommy.
Okay, Tommy, take it away.
I have a story for you. Everybody's talking about guardian angels, and here's one that might blow your mind.
Okay.
At the age of, I would say, 7 or so, my grandfather and my uncle and everybody taught me how to use firearms. Well, my grandfather lived 18 years after they said that he would die. He died Palm Sunday of 1992. Well, the night of his showing, he had a 38 revolver. He had my grandmother's small 25 caliber handgun. And I always knew that they were loaded just in case. My grandmother had her gun on her side of the room. My grandfather had his on his side of the room. And they told me never touch it, and I know for a fact that they used to keep both guns always loaded. Well, the night of my grandfather's showing, I was so devastated. He had just dropped me off at church that night. He died. And went to my grandmother's for a couple of days. And the night of the showing, I went to the daytime, and I couldn't go back to the night just because that was the one person that I loved with all of my heart.
Right.
I took my grandmother's gun that I knew was loaded, cocked and everything. Well, I thought it was loaded. I went down into the basement. Like I said, I'm from Indiana. We have basements, unlike California. And I turned off all the lights, and I was thinking about my grandfather crying and everything. And it still brings tears to my eyes. But I took her gun, stuck it in my mouth, and I had pulled the trigger. Nothing happened. I pulled it back, most semi-automatics. If there's no bullets in the gun, it will stay back for to have you reloaded.
Right.
And it all went through. And come to find out, my uncle walked through and or come down the basement and called me. Well, come to find out, my grandfather apparently had unloaded my grandmother's gun without my grandmother knowing, without me knowing, or anybody.
Well, he knew. He knew something.
Oh, I know he knew something. The day that he died, he told my grandmother that he felt the best he ever did. He decided to go in the bathroom and do a little bit of work because he was a carpenter. And he died right there doing what he loved to do, carpenter, age of 69. Well, 2 months later, I decided, hey, I'm 15. I'm on top of the world, not so happy that my grandfather died. And I found a keg of gunpowder. It's an aluminum keg. Mm-hmm. And I poured a line. Have you ever seen gunpowder sparkle as it starts in a line?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful. I pour like 3 lines, light it. It all works out. I don't know if maybe an amber had went into a leaf or something because this was in August or so. And a leaf, well, I don't know what happened. But all I know is as I'm pouring my last line, somehow, the keg of gunpowder blew up in my hand.
Oh, my God.
I suffered with second and third degree burns. However, today, I'm not scarred or anything. Right, 87% of my body had dry gunpowder burns. However, I am not scarred. Whenever the police come, then the fire department asked me if I was trying to make a bomb, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
I'm all drugged up. I'm like, no, I was just pouring lines because I thought it was cool. Well, they found this aluminum keg was blown into 3 pieces. They found 2 pieces of that aluminum keg because they tried to put it back together just to make sure I wasn't throwing a bomb or something like that.
Sure.
They found 1 huge section that was not there. One they found up, it had stuck in the street. They found it because of a car had blown out their tire because they had driven over it or something. I was in the hospital, so this is just what my grandmother told me because this was at my grandmother's house. They found another one about 100, 200 feet away from where I was in the backyard, and the other piece was totally gone. The police told me that I should have been dead on that occasion. So I honestly believe that if I do have a guardian angel, that would be my grandfather, because that's two times I should have died.
And let's hope that you're not into those things anymore.
Well, I'm into security, which isn't the greatest field to make people like you.
Yeah, well, that's true, but at least he's still there protecting you.
I strongly believe that. Even telling the story, I've got chills.
That is a great story. Hey, thanks. Be safe, okay?
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go to the Convince Me hotline. Welcome to Coast. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you, George?
Good, I'm great. So what are you going to try to convince me of?
I'm going to kind of try to convince you that there's a soul, maybe an afterlife, I'm not sure. I'm an agnostic, so not really sure right now.
Okay, understand.
My great-grandfather, he was 92 when he passed away. He lived a very full life. He had many, many grandchildren and great-grandchildren and children of his own. So they were all there when he died. And where we live in Washington, there's not a lot of deer around, but one of the things that he enjoyed doing for a living was hunting. And the day that it happened, that the day of his funeral, there was a beautiful 3x4 buck that strolled up by his house. And I think it was there to say hi. And we don't see many deer at all around there anymore.
I'm not sure that's the convincing one, but you know what? It's a start for you.
Yeah, and it was really touching because that was something he loved to do.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, that could be one of those synchronicities of life. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Good morning.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir. Hi.
How you doing? This is Brian from Indiana.
Hi, Brian. Sure.
Now, this story has to deal with my brother. I was trying to get your insights. He's 25 now, and when he was 6 years old, he was attacked by my uncle's German Shepherd, and he had to get about 200 stitches in his head. And he said before the dog attacked him, the dog turned to him, and what he described is like devil eyes, the glowing red eyes. The dog had that before he attacked him.
Oh, my.
Now, about 5 years ago, he was over at his friend's, and he had been around his friend's cat probably 100 times previously. But he said he was sitting on the couch, and he looked over at the cat that was sitting on the other end, and had those same eyes, and that cat attacked him, scratched up his neck. And about 2 weeks ago, this is what's really got him shook here lately. About 2 weeks ago, he had his daughter at a local park, and there was, I guess you'd describe her as a bag lady, pushing a shopping cart by.
Right.
Looked over at him, had those devil eyes, and said, "Your end is near." I was wondering if you've ever heard of that or have any.
No. You know, we've heard stories about, of course, the red eyes with animals and on humans, but for somebody to have three separate cases like that occur, that's kind of unnerving, and especially this last one.
Oh, he's pretty shook about it.
He needs to watch himself.
Yes.
You know, it could be one of those signs. You know, for some reason, sounds like evil's out to get him, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, before, he really didn't say anything to anyone before. This just all come up in the past couple of weeks. He was telling me about it.
Is he a nice guy? Is he religious? Is he, what's he doing?
Oh, he's a great guy. I don't think he has any enemies. Great guy.
Maybe evil wants to take care of him then, for some reason. Yeah,
possibly. Yeah, he's Catholic, goes to church every week. I mean,
yeah, he's too good a guy.
All-around good guy.
Okay.
Possibly.
Tell him to be careful.
All right, thanks for taking my call, George.
Yeah, he's got some spirits chasing him. I believe that. West of the Rockies, your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Welcome to the show.
Hello, this is Mike in Pocatello. I'm driving right now, as a truck driver.
Mike. Well, you be careful, and what's on your mind?
Well, I was first going to ask you, has there been any news on Planet X? I haven't heard anything lately.
Not for a couple of years when everybody thought it was going to come rolling by. I still subscribe to Zechariah Sitchin, who believes that there is a Planet X, another planet in our solar system, but it's way the heck out there.
Okay.
I don't subscribe to those people who say the end was near, it was coming by. Didn't happen.
I was just curious. I was online not too long ago, and I thought I had seen some pictures. Well, they had supposedly pictures of it behind the sun. But anyway, I wanted to tell you a little story that happened to me a while back. This is in 1992, and I was going through a very difficult time at the time.
All right.
After having problems with my wife and kind of a lot of pornography. But I worked for a company out of San Luis Obispo, and was delivering down to the Torrance Mall down in L.A. And if you know the Torrance Mall, they have a real long dock. I mean, you have to back down into this thing a good 50 feet. Probably not quite that high, but I mean, it's quite a ways. And this particular morning, it was right after all the riots had happened with Reginald Denny and him playing pulled out of the truck. I had gotten out of my truck, and I went back there, and trailer sealed, so I hadn't been in it prior to. A real thin light, like an exit sign, had been glowing, so there weren't really any lights on, just a real thin glow.
All right.
And I broke the seal, lifted up the door, and I walked in there. Like I say, it was dark. I couldn't really see much. All of a sudden, this bright light from out of the trailer comes straight at me. I fell to my knees, and I swear to you, I'm not making this up. As I saw this light come around, there were three demons, went around me, saw their faces, went back out of the out of the rear door, and disappeared. I thought I was making this up in my mind. I know I wasn't, because just as I got up, the other gentleman that helped me unload the truck walked out and said, "What was that bright light?" I said, "If I told you, you wouldn't believe me." He goes, "I believe it. I saw it. I saw something fly out of your trailer and go through the wall." And, I was a Christian before, and I still am. I'm not perfect. I got my problems. I understand that. But let me tell you, it made me a true believer to know that there is something out there. And to this day, I can still see it in my head. And at times, I go to bed and I think about that. But other than my wife and a few close friends, I've never told that story, but I swear to you it happened, and your audience and listeners can take it from there.
Okay, thanks for your honesty on that. Appreciate you being part of the program. Wildcard Line, your turn. What's your story? What's up?
Hi, George. What are you doing underground?
I'm deep underground. Well, that's, when I'm in St. Louis, I found this cave facility for the studio.
Uh-huh.
And it's tremendously soundproofed. It was not tremendously waterproofed, unfortunately.
Oh.
And it took me a long time and some horrible moments to get that taken care of. And then the crickets came in. So here I sit. And it's a great facility. It gives me a chance to get back and see my grown kids.
Oh, so you're in St. Louis then?
Yeah, right now. I'm going back to L.A. This weekend.
Oh, okay. Well, this is Nikki from Iowa. I'm not that far away from you.
No, not at all.
And I met my spirit guide through one of your guys' shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Dr. Paglini was on.
Oh, sure. Evelyn.
With Art. Yeah.
Yep.
I have StreamLink, so I got into a meditative state and listened to that, and sure enough, I met her. And her name's Sheanne. At first, she appeared just like me. She looked just like me, except a lot older. Pretty good looking, I might add, too. But, no. and she
vanity.
And she just pretty much unloaded on me, on everything that I need to do in my life, you know, where I'm falling off path, what I need to get done, stuff like that. And she was really good. Towards the end of our conversation, she told me that I had brought home a spirit. I'm a ghost hunter, and I have my own group here in town, which I don't run anymore because of this. But and she brought me to him, and he was a suicide victim that I had brought home on a previous investigation. And he was a teenager, and he was just very sad, and the type of, you know, I don't care what you think, you know, that type of attitude.
Right.
So at any rate, she told me to cleanse the house and kick him out, get him out. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. So I went ahead and I started trying to talk to him. Oh, she also got really mad at me because she's been trying to communicate with me for like the last 10 years. And I keep thinking that it's my imagination and not her. So
you kept putting her off, huh?
Yeah. So she got really mad at me about that and told me that, yeah, I am able to hear her and talk to her, and that when she comes into my head, so to speak, that if it's really her, my lips won't move. But if I'm talking to myself, I'll, like, you know, sometimes people read when they read their lips.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So she said, if it's really her, her lips, my lips won't move. So.
That's incredible. Now, do you summon the spirit guide or does she just show up?
I go into a real deep meditative state, and then
I know, but who summons? Do you still have the ability to summon her, or does she come on her own?
I guess I summon her.
Okay, well, that's a pretty good gift all by itself.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been trying for like the last 10 years, and that show with Dr. Paglini was the one that did it.
What's the greatest lesson the spirit guide has given you?
Fear. She told me fear is only an expression, and she had an acronym for it. I can't remember it, though. But it's false imagery.
And she just says, don't worry about fear.
Yeah.
I like that. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Next up, East of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Hey, it's a great show.
Thanks.
Yeah, I was listening to some of your Bigfoot stories, so I thought I'd call in and put my 2 cents in.
You have one?
Yeah, I've seen one before. I had a house at one time, sort of in the foothills of the Blue Ridge, and I had all kinds of weird experiences out there. It all started with when I first moved in. There was a little creek down by it, and I was down there. It was February, snow, and I was just looking at the creek, and there was this one big footprint in the middle on this little like sandbar, and that sort of struck me funny, and I didn't really think much about it. But as the more I lived there, you know, stuff would happen as far as like my house would get hit on, mm-hmm. you know, pounding outside the house. And, you know, one day I was out there, I do landscaping on the side and I'm also a chef. But, you know, I have some knowledge with plants, and I had some Leland cypresses that were planted that weren't doing very good because of the lack of sunlight because I was in a forested area. And so I wanted to transplant them down at my folks' house where they get a little bit more sunlight. And, I'm sorry. It was the weirdest thing because about 7 or 8 deer ran out from the other side of the road, came right up to where I was working, not even probably 3 or 4 feet from me. And it was very strange, you know, because usually, you know, deers aren't out that time and, you know, they're a little shy of people. And, you know, they're just looking like something spooked them. And, you know, like, you know, they weren't really bothered by my presence. And, you know, then they sort of just moved off. And I sort of went up around the side of the house to get a shovel or something. And I kept getting these rocks thrown at me, you know, and stuff like this kept happening. And, you know, my house kept getting beaten on, you know, at night, like early in the morning hours.
You have a mischievous Bigfoot out there.
Yeah, it sounded like it. So my brother was visiting, and he said, you know, he says, that's a bunch of pranksters and stuff like that.
Sure. You would think so.
Yeah, so he volunteered. So we had some lounge chairs out there on the back deck. So he went out there sleeping, right? And he was out there sleeping, and, you know, he thought I was messing with him or something. About 3:30 in the morning, you know, right over him, the house got beaten on. It woke me up. And I come around the sliding glass door, and he was flying around. He looked like, he was just pure white.
He saw the thing.
Yeah, he saw something. He saw a shadow. It's scary. He didn't want to get in the house. And I said, well, yeah, I told you. So anyway, we thought it was like a burglar. We didn't know what was going on. You know, I have my suspicions. But we called the sheriff's department. They came out, and, you know, the cop's back there, and he sees some movement. And I'm back there. I'm backing him up with a 12-gauge, and I guess he had a 9mm or something. But anyway, there was, like, these weird moves. I mean, weird sounds. It was the weirdest sound.
Did anybody ever catch the thing?
No, man.
Darn. Hey, I got to run. Got to take this break. We'll be right back. We've got a great week of guests for you on Coast to Coast beginning next week. And don't forget Ian Punnett and Art Bell this weekend. We'll be back with final phone calls, open line time, on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, thanks for being part of Coast to Coast. So let us go right back to the calls. East of the Rockies, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George. Shane in Oklahoma City.
Hey, Shane. What's new?
Well, I used to send out a bunch of truck drivers there in the Midwest a number of years ago, and I always sent them to pick up frozen fruit at a place called The Cave. For the life of me, I can't remember if it was St. Louis or if it was Kansas City, but I was wondering if that was anywhere near where you were at or had anything there.
It may be, Shane. I don't want to disclose the location, but it may be.
Okay, well, I was just curious.
That'll be our secret, Shane.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
Thanks.
You're welcome. First-time caller line, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Belinda. I'm from Tullahoma, Tennessee, on my way to Omaha, Nebraska.
Are you? Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, you're a truck driver. Go ahead, Belinda.
Listen, we left Tullahoma this afternoon and stopped at a truck stop in Manchester. And we looked at the newsstand, and in the newspaper, it's called the Independent News. There was a 17-year-old kid that got arrested today for having 193 bombs in his house.
193 bombs?
193 bombs. And get this, the parents had no clue.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And I don't know if you can look on the internet for that, but it'd probably be under Independent News in Manchester, Tennessee.
Okay.
Also, there was also chemical bombs found inside the home as well. Now, can you imagine as a parent not having a clue?
I mean, well, how do we know the parents weren't in cahoots with the kid? Maybe they're just as nutty as he was.
I know, but that's his hobby. I got that much read. It was his hobby.
What was his plan? Did anybody say? I mean, did he plan to blow up anything, or he was just going to play around?
I have no clue, George. The only thing that is known at this time is there was a tip made to the police department. They investigated the house and found 193 bombs from a 17-year-old boy.
That's crazy. I'll have some people check it. They'll put me. They'll send me some fast blast messages. I should have the story in minutes.
Well, I tell you what. If you find anything out, will you talk about it, please? And I'll
I
send
sure
you a
will.
Copy of the newspaper.
Okay, great. Thank you, Belinda.
Thank you very much, George.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah. If anybody can do that while I'm still on the air, just get me a fast blast link. I'll pop it up and we'll take a look at it. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah, welcome. Where are you calling from?
Wichita, Kansas. I was actually trying to get in the convince me line.
Oh, that's okay. You know,
okay.
When I do a hotline like that,
uh-huh.
That line is for that topic.
Right.
But you can also call the other lines for that topic. But
okay.
I just want to make sure that those people can get through on some line. So, yeah, you're fine.
Okay. Well, anyway, like I said, my name's Darren, and I'm calling from Wichita, Kansas. And I want to convince you that there are no aliens, at least the way people think.
Okay.
I want to do a little different here, okay? I've studied for years and listened to a lot of stuff that David Icke has done and Alex Jones and those kind of people.
Sure.
Who believe, you know, what the government's really up to and everything. I really believe that aliens, the way people think. Now, do I believe that people have seen things? Yes, I do believe people have seen things. What do I believe an alien is, or what people would say is an alien? I believe they're demons. Okay, I like to say I'm a Christian, but I really like to call myself a believer in Christ. The very first, if you want to call it that, and I know my Lord won't get mad at me for doing this, the very first alien, if you want to call it that, that ever was encountered was in the Bible. When they walked up to Jesus Christ, they asked Jesus, "Where is your kingdom?" And he said, "Not of this world."
So you think Jesus was an alien?
No. I don't think he's an alien. Like I said, what I said is I don't think there's aliens the way people think. I don't think if there's an alien in another planet or another universe and they have that technology, to us, with our technology, we would be cavemen to them. And I'm just really not convinced that they would be with our toxic world, with our, you know, the toxic land, water, air, whatever. Why would you want to land here? Why would you even want to bother with a world like this?
Well, because they made us, I think.
Okay. Well, I believe that there are no aliens the way we think. I believe they're demons because I believe it's really, and this is going off on a limb here, but I really believe that the aliens, the way we think, because it really started in the 1940s, it really became mainstream. Every time you see a picture of a UFO, does anybody with a camera or any kind of, you know, camcorder or anything, do they believe in, you know, focusing? Do they believe in hitting?
Well, you know, they're nervous, they're shaking.
Everybody? Every time.
They're not professionals, unfortunately.
True, but every time, it's always out of focus, it's never zoomed in, it's never. Every time there is also an alien-type sighting, or UFO sighting, I should say, there's always... And they're all around the world, military bases, but it's always around, you know, there's always a military base.
Well, what does that tell you?
That tells me that the government is involved, and if you know a lot about the Bible, I believe,
you've convinced me on that part.
Okay, but what I'm trying to say is I believe that aliens, like I said, are not, I believe there is something different of a different dimension. But I don't believe they're aliens. I believe that aliens, the way the news media and the mainstream has put it out, that, you know, they're gray men, you know, and they're little men with, you know, dilly bobs coming out of their head or whatever, you know, that's just man's way, you know. And I believe people see things, but I believe they're not seeing aliens. I believe they're not even abducted by aliens. I believe they're in my personal opinion, they're abducted by demons.
Well, I'll tell you what, you haven't convinced me. Except your theory is not standing all by itself. There's a number of people who believe that extraterrestrials or these dimensional beings are demonic. And I've got to tell you, you've got a camp of support out there.
Yeah.
But you haven't convinced me. Doesn't mean you haven't presented something pretty compelling. I just believe, well, I'm not going to tell you what I believe. That's not the reason for the hotline. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. Long time fan. Heard you when you were in St. Louis. Emailed you a couple of weeks ago telling you I had just got online with you.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah. My daughter is 34 years old.
All right.
And had joined the military. But let me back up just a little bit. When she was born in a clinic. We lived in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. And she was born in a clinic, and they sent us right home. And my grandmother, we took her to see her great-grandma 2 days later. And when I handed her to my grandmother says, "My God, this child has a veil on her face." I get nervous every time I talk about it.
I understand.
She said she was born with a veil on her face. And I said, "Well, what's that mean, Grandma?" And as the days went by, the skin began to peel off. And within a matter of 2 to 3 weeks, she had normal baby, looked like a normal, healthy baby. But my grandmother, I kept after her to tell me what that meant. And she said, just be careful with her. You know, she may have powers. But my grandmother seemed like she didn't want to be around the baby, and that wasn't my grandmother.
Felt she uncomfortable being around the kid.
No, she wasn't, not at all. She had a normal childhood. I mean, as normal as any kid. I was a single mom. But she was in the military, and she was stationed on the East Coast, and she had a total nervous breakdown. And when I flew out of here and out there, I can see the devil in her, and I see the devil in her today.
Is she an evil kid, person now?
No, but she snaps, you know, and they've given her all this bipolar stuff, you know, and what she needs is, you know, before she went into the military, she was close to the Lord, and how she, well, we know Satan has his ways. You know, to draw
Satan
her out.
Does have his ways. There's no doubt about that. So have we brought her to someone who maybe is an exorcist?
Well, no, because she's currently in rehab. But if I mention going to church or talking to someone, she just throws an absolute
freaks.
Fit.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, I would recommend some kind of exorcism, a priest or somebody else who's pretty spiritual, and have them check her out. Also, you know, you have to have the doctors check them out. I mean, that you got to recommend as well. Here is the story. Somebody has fast blasted me at 193 explosive devices found in a home in Coffee County, Tennessee, uncovering a bomb-making operation in a family home in Manchester, near Manchester. Search warrant was executed on a home in the Cat Creek Road area, just as the caller had said. At this point, no formal charges have been filed, and they weren't releasing the names of the suspect. And let's see if we got a little bit more coming up. We've got to get chemical analysis, but we think that they are explosives. The kid was 19 years old, was making homemade bombs, very serious stuff. Sizes of the improvised explosives ranged from 2-inch firecrackers to, listen to this, packages totaling more than 10 feet in length. How could his parents not know about this? 10 feet in length. I mean, that's as big a bomb as you'd find in Iraq right now. My God. Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn. Hi there. Hello.
Hello, this is Tim.
Go ahead, Tim.
Hi. I have a story about I was down at my brother's farm in Mexico.
Tim, you're breaking up on us, so try to call back before we get off the line here. And let's go to our next line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi. My thing is somebody called a while ago about aliens. Here's something I wish people would be open-minded enough to realize is why do we always assume that a life force, alien life force, is something that we would recognize as a life force?
Good point.
Number two is why do we always assume that they are further advanced than what we are?
Well, because we figure they got here. And if you get here, don't you think they have to be a little more advanced? I do. Let's go to our, we've got a few more minutes left, to our Convince Me hotline. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to try to convince you that my dad actually saved my life after he passed away. In 2003, I was testing for a sprint car ride, a wing sprint car, and to make a long story short, I flipped coming around a turn. I was upside down.
Did you have a roll bar?
Pardon me?
Did you have a roll bar at least?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a wing sprint car. You're strapped in there really good. Very hard to get hurt. The most fear that drivers fear of is fire.
Sure.
Which I was upside down, and I saw the fuel coming by my head. And all of a sudden, a really nice, soft roll put me back on all fours. And it's usually the safety safari guys that will do that. But after I got out, I went to the owner of the car. I said, who's the people that flipped me over? And he said, there was nobody that flipped you over. And he said, take a look at this. And I look in the video, and my sprint car just comes real easy right over on all fours. And I know it was my dad. My dad was my crew chief. He was my engine builder.
And your savior.
He passed away in 2003, and I was going to give it up. And about 10 minutes before he passed away, he said, don't stop what you're doing. Keep going. It's our dream, so I'm going to keep going.
I've got to say that I'm convinced.
Yeah, it was something else.
I think he's out there.
Well, I could. I'll ship you the video, and you can take a look for yourself.
I would love to. Okay, thank you.
All right,
you.
George.
Appreciate you being on Coast to Coast. And by the way, if you have not had a chance to get up to the coasttocoastam.com website, take a look at the feature article that Sean has posted of the ghost car. I've got to tell you, it is one of the greatest pieces of video you'll ever see. It's absolutely chilling. It really is. I've got time for about a one-minute phone call. Can you do this in a minute? I think. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, sir, I've got a minute for you. Is that okay?
Yes. I just wanted to know, about August 22nd, does that mean anything to anybody? Or?
Well, August 22nd is a date that a Princeton professor, who is an expert in the Islamic faith, believes that there could be some kind of nuclear detonation. And he at least says around that period of time. Some other people have said to look for something around that date. I believe Dr. Lewis Turi, who comes on the program quite often, also said that August 22nd date, something could happen as well. I'm at a point now where I don't worry about it. Let's take the days as they come and let's see what happens. And the root of this problem is much deeper than dates. And we've got to be able to start solving world problems. I'm not going to get into that right now. We don't have all that kind of time. But I do want to play a little thing for you, which will somewhat enlighten you before the end of tonight's program and the beginning of your weekend. Ian Punnett, of course, tomorrow, 6 o'clock Pacific time. We then go to Manila for two programs, Saturday and Sunday, with Art Bell. Then I'll be back for you on Monday. So let's sit back and listen in on UFO Phil.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people. And they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night. And I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light. And I also see you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night. And I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light.
Hey, great job, by the way. Thanks for all of you who participated in Coast to Coast tonight, because without you, it wouldn't be what it is. For Karis Coburn, Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ian Punnett, Ross Mitchell, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.